Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Coming up, we'll go on the sidelines with the dogs and talk some college football. Mike, I'll give you the over-unders as well for SEC teams. I want you to know what you think about
them. Okay.
Right? Hey, coming up also, we'll talk
about... love gambling.
Yes, we do. We will talk about Brave Spring Training and what this 25-man roster might look like, specifically what the everyday lineup might look like along the way. Hey, real quick, I do want to mention this because this is a story that broke on the show a few days ago, actually last week. LSU head basketball coach Will Wade, who's been suspended, Mike, says... I'm ready to return to duty. He's ready.
Oh, good for you.
He's ready to get back to his team. On Thursday, he issues a statement to Sports Illustrated announcing he informed the athletic director and school president and the LSU Board of Supervisors that he should be allowed to coach again.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Wade has not responded to multiple attempts to comment for CBS Sports, according to this report, but... last week when the university decided to place me on administrative leave, I accepted the decision without complaint, as I knew that they wanted time to reflect on the flurry of media reports. And then he goes on to say in the statement to Sports Illustrated, with the benefit of a week to consider the circumstances, I believe the university should allow me to resume to my duties.
Yeah, good luck with that. Look, Jim Herrick, you had to step away. Yeah, even Rick Pitino had to wind up in Greece, right? I mean, you got to go away, pal. You got to go pay your penance. I know it's a shame. You did a great job.
No, I want to get back with my team.
Yeah, you did a great job recruiting. How exactly did that go down? You got Elliot Ness and J. Edgar Hoover with you on tape right there, pal. So
I've recruited these guys. I want back with my squad.
Well, you don't get to coach them, Skippy. You get to coach now, as I said, somewhere in like bum flub Europe, and then eventually you'll be an assistant in the NBA. And then later on, you have to go to Jerkwater State and start all over again. Congratulations.
Yeah, I just saw that, and it made me laugh. Listen, guys, we're being tongue-in-cheek. Why should Will Wade be allowed to coach in the tournament?
You're under a huge cloud, and that's just you can't do that. Common sense. Look, again, that used to be called common sense when you.
No, I want to coach my team.
You got caught with your hand in the cookie jar. Okay, you're talking about money to people's families. It's pretty cut and dry, unless you're a complete nabob. Okay, sorry about the people who live in LSU land out there in Louisiana. But yeah, Carl, you just got to move on. You know, in the old days, you would just walk away and shut up and take your penance and, you know, say you're sorry, mea culpa, and get on with your life. But not anymore. He'll fight this to the umpteenth degree, and then he'll, unfortunately, you know, for him, he's going to make a bigger deal out of this deal. We spoke with this guy at the Indianapolis Final Four a couple years ago when Duke won. We were both impressed by him. He was at UT Chattanooga. We brought that up last week.
Yes.
But, boy, yeah, when you get four of the top 100 recruits.
He did it fair and square, Mike.
Out of the blue. That's raising some eyebrows on me, go.
All right, man. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Follow us on social media if you're not already doing that. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. Sam, Charlie, what's going on today, man? Real quick. You look all like, you know, you're into it in there. What's going on? You all right?
There's just a lot of stuff going on.
All right, man. You focused? You're good?
Get
your head right.
Yeah, we're good to go.
Get your head right.
Absolutely. You're making good. Sure all the spots are in the right spot, traffic coming up.
Yeah, you're making sure the show's running smoothly.
Absolutely.
Okay, fair
Number
enough.
One job.
But what's really going on in there?
The Players' Championship is on.
I know. It's kind of hard getting used to the Players this early. Normally, we get this later in the year. It's moved up before the Masters, part of the revamped PGA Tour schedule because they realize that nobody's watching once football season starts. But Keegan Bradley at 500, one of the better ball strikers on tour right now, Carl.
He is a good ball striker.
By the way,
no doubt about
we
it.
Like Carl and I, this is something we like to play. It's called the PGA, or especially the NBC golf coverage drinking game with Dan Hicks and everybody. Just a great ball striker.
How many times he uses that
Take
term?
A shot every time you hear the phrase ball striker.
Say it with us.
Ball striker.
One more time.
Ball striker. You know what? That's going to be the next in my band. Ball strikers.
That's it right there.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
All right, follow me on this since we're talking about pro days and the draft coming up.
Lay it on.
If you are the Cardinals, just think about this. Do you move back to four and give the Raiders that first overall pick and get some additional picks.
It's a hell of a decision to make. They now, for whatever reason, very conspicuously did not attend Kyler Murray's pro day out in Oklahoma. Whether or not they're trying to create a little misdirection there, to your point, that is interesting.
The Raiders apparently are interested in Kyler Murray. Now, they are playing it cool, but everybody I'm talking to that was at the combine was like, hey, Gruden is impressed with Kyler Murray, but we know the Cardinals hold all the cards here. And if I'm the Cardinals, Mike, how do you really improve your team? We said this. You get multiple picks, right? So you get four instead of one. You stay with the quarterback you have in Rosen, mm-hmm. and you go improve the areas of your football team that you need to improve. For the Cardinals, that could be an edge rusher, that is. And I think that that guy, whether it's Nick Bosa, who was supposed to be maybe the number one overall, unless Kyler Murray is taken there, or maybe Josh Allen, the kid out of Kentucky. If you guys have not heard about Josh Allen and you didn't watch Kentucky this last year, projected to be a big-time pro player. I'm just saying, if I'm the Cards, to me that makes a lot of sense in this particular draft, unless you are completely sold that Kyler Murray is your future.
Right. I mean, we know the guy can make the throws. Guys, if you watch any of the Big 12 action, I mean, he's got a laser for an arm. He can move around in the pocket. He did have to shed the weight that he put on specifically for the combine. So he'll be back down around 5'9 and a half, I would imagine, too, after doing that spinal decompression. All these tinfoil hat rumors about how he got taller. I like the kid, man. I don't know enough about Rosen. I mean, it's tough because as little as we watch Big 12, we watch even less Pac-12.
Yeah.
Rosen meets all the measurables. You know, I know there were some people at the draft, remember last year, that said they actually like Rosen better than Sam Darnold. So, I mean, I think the guy's got all the arm strength. Remember the pass he threw against us last year?
Correct.
In that meaningless game against Arizona? I mean, he can sling it, but it's just a matter of what Cliff Kingsbury's want to roll with.
We're talking college football, college sports. We do it every day. It's brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
BrightBoxElectrical.com, 770-901-2500. Get a man cave, get home security, home monitoring, generators. They got it all. BrightBoxElectrical.com.
Clemson fans, let me ask you this. Who is the best defensive lineman on that D-line? They're all pros. Who's the best guy? If we could only get one, who's the guy? Today they had their pro day, Mike, and there are a lot of mock drafts that have us taking a Clemson player, specifically a D lineman, and whether it's, you know, Farrell or Lawrence, that they're saying there's a chance that all three of those guys could potentially be there when we pick at 14.
Now, again, guys, we did not talk to Christian Wilkins. If you missed our conversation with D. Orlando Ledbetter from the AJC, apparently they didn't meet with him at the combine. I thought that'd be a nice bigger, kind of compliment to what you had with Grady Jarrett there. And then you'd have actually three Clemson linemen. You could count Vic in that mix. But apparently he's one of the guys they were not, at least not now, kicking the tires on. Dexter Lawrence, also a guy that I would take in a heartbeat, wouldn't you?
No doubt.
I mean, there's a couple of guys here, but this brings us back, and we'll talk more about it at 5 o'clock in the Falcon Report. But because there's such great depth in defensive tackle and defensive end, you could arguably go get, if you really covet DeAndre Baker, they could have a good shot at him or trade down and maybe still get him and still find yourself possessing a good defensive tackle with a second-round pick. Or go offensive line in the first round and still get that D tackle in the second round.
Yeah. The offensive lineman that a lot of people are talking about is Juwan Taylor. Now, he's a Gator, and Bo has, told us he didn't play well enough at some points in time last year for him. But he is projected to be a top 10 pick. But, Mike, if these quarterbacks end up going, he could slide. And this is where it gets really interesting, because if you say, all right, we surely still need to go get an offensive lineman, if he's there along with maybe the kid out of Washington State, Andre Dillard, who our man from NFL Network told us about.
Daniel Jeremiah.
Yeah, he said he loves this kid, and he thinks he might be the most talented of all the offensive linemen. This is what's going to make it interesting.
If you could get Jonah Williams, man, geez Louise, wouldn't that be money? And there's some mock drafts where the Dolphins take him right before us. There's a few where there's other quality linemen later. The guy, Lidstrom from Boston College, I've seen a lot of mock drafts where he could be there for us in the second round. So you could do anything you want in the first and get O-line. But at some point, you know that Dan's going to pull the trigger on a D-tackle. He's put his neck in the sling on this one, right? He's going to go get it.
Yeah, we got to get better up front. We keep saying that. And here's the thing. It's kind of like an illusion right now. We just got better up front. I mean, you heard D-Led say, this is an upgrade from where we were. I said yesterday, we went through four guards last year. None of them really worked. Lavitre's gone now. He's made that official. He will not be back. Fusco's on the mend. So these guys that we just signed, the other day in free agency, the two offensive guards are upgrades. And that's how you have to look at that, Jamon Brown and James Carpenter. So, yes, I'm with you. We still got to get better on the other side.
Hey, before you get to my overs and unders. Did you watch any of the SEC tournament? We're watching some ACC right now. It's going down. We have a potential for Duke and Carolina to maybe hook up. But what do you think about Georgia? They got beat, if you didn't see it. And it was pretty ugly. They played Missouri earlier in the year, and it was really ugly. So Wednesday night, 64-39. They made it closer, but no, needless to say, they're out, so we're not going to see Tom Crean coach them to some kind of miracle run to the SEC. Not that anyone ever expected.
Yeah, I heard Crean after the game say, "I'm so glad these guys are gone." He didn't say that. He didn't say that. I just made that up.
You know, I told these guys they could leave, but they wouldn't leave, and they stayed. But next year, Anthony Edwards is the big guy. Can they build enough other pieces in the recruiting to make the run? Because people are really expecting big things from Anthony Edwards. Ben Simmons couldn't drag LSU with him to do anything special, but can we see this from Anthony Edwards next year?
Here's what Coach has to do, and he knows this, and Georgia Tech has the same issue, and Josh Pastner came in studio and said it. They got to go get some bucket getters, some guys that can flat out score. Mike, it's one thing to not be projected to win the SEC, or for that matter, the ACC if you're Tech, but you got to be competitive.
Right.
That's a blowout. And that was kind of a customary thing this season when I saw Georgia play is, you know, it looks like they're in it, and then you look up and they're down 25. You can't have that.
Claxton fouls out with 3 minutes left. So they cut it to 10 in the SEC, but there you go. You know, we always joke around about it. It's like if a tree falls in Georgia basketball, does anyone know? I mean, next year, though, there will be a little more juice around it. I know that there are people out in Athens that want to see it, and they're trying to, you know, build that profile up. You know, right now, the guy who's in the basketball business in town, his name is Ron Hunter.
Ron Hunter.
Other guys are just trying to play catch-up.
Yeah, 20-win season. Hey, again, it is our Dog Report and talking some college hoops along the way. Before we get to over-unders, tell them about BrightBox.
BrightBox, man. Hey, what about you, man? You want a TV outside? You never have to bring indoors. You can roast weenies like at Stately Duke's Manor.
Yes, we do. We roast weenies all the time.
Go get that flat screen from BrightBox. You never have to bring that sucker inside. 770-901-2500.
I will say this. It's the best thing to have an outside TV. It just is. And especially with the weather getting nice. Hopefully we're done with the cold stuff. Mm-hmm. It is so nice to be out watching whatever you want. All right, guys. Alabama! 11 is the win total. Over,
ooh,
under.
So they're going right back to the championship game, huh? Okay. Shocking. Shocking.
11. You taking it?
Yeah, I'll take that. Who's going to bet against these guys?
11.
Now, again, there is a little team down in College Station that may have something to say about that.
Yeah, I agree. Georgia, the Dogs. 10.5 wins.
Well, it better be over. It better be. They're like, it's championship or bust for Kirby. That's the expectation level. Am I wrong?
No, you're not.
Right? I mean, Sam is a proud Georgia alum. It's championship or bust, isn't it, Big Sam?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Absolutely. Been there. We've been right there two times in a row. Just got to get over the hump.
I mean, if Jake Fromm is the best quarterback to ever dress out since Tarkington, you better be ready, Freddie, to get it done.
Wait a minute. Who said that?
Well, you keep telling me. He's chasing everybody away.
He is.
He made Easton run back to the Pacific Northwest. He's turned Justin Fields into a hairless nut.
Yes.
Now apparently it's even Chaney gets scared
Justin
away.
Justin Fields, a five-star dual-threat quarterback.
Stop
from
that.
Kennesaw,
it's a Buckeye.
Georgia.
Stop it. He's dead to us. He's dead to us.
He's gone. He's gone. And by the way, yes, I am saying that. All right. I have said that Fromm is the best quarterback since in a long while. I think Fromm's an NFLer, guys. I know some people don't believe that. He's going to the league. I mean, he's got all the throws. The problem I have, Mike, is I just don't let him. I don't think they let him throw it enough. I'll be honest with you. In some cases,
I'm so glad. Now again, people always say, "Be careful what you ask for," because people in Georgia get so afraid of change.
Listen, you've got those backs in the backfield. I get it.
Hey, I could go down to Hey Hira and find a coach who can call an offense better than Chaney.
Yeah,
Chaney is the classic journeyman.
What's wrong with
offense? Nothing. Actually, we go down to Cairo, get somebody from the Syrup Makers to call the plays.
I like Hey Hira.
Or maybe we'll go down to Colquitt County. We'll get Ray Goff's friends. No, the point is, we can find almost anybody out there to do as equal a job to Chaney. And I think people that are worried about Coley because he was at Miami back then, they don't sweat it. You got better weapons. He'll be fine. I just feel bad for Isaac Nada not sticking around because he might have actually seen the ball this year.
Florida, 9 wins. Over, under.
Over. Yeah, they got it cooking. Dan Mullen, that's why everyone just assumes Georgia's.
Did you see Bo? Bo was like, oh, it's over.
It's over. You made it.
You just came alive. I hadn't seen you the entire show, and I said 9 wins. You looked at me like I was from another planet.
Well, I've been typing.
Typing.
Because they won more than 9 last year in his first year.
It was a lucky first year.
Where we're down in recruit. Really?
No, lucky first year.
Lucky, really? Lucky
it did seem
Texas
that way, Carl.
Hey, McElwain, the Shark Humper got 9 wins, didn't he?
No, he's got to start against Manny Diaz in Miami. Remember, they moved that game up. I mean, it's like it's actually right for the 4th of July that game is being played. But no, Florida starts with Miami, and I'm looking at their schedule. Carl, again, it's the typical classic Florida crucible of out-of-conference play. Northern Colorado, Towson, and Tennessee Martin. So that kind of makes up for playing a Miami team.
I don't know how they're going to get through that, Mike.
Well, you don't forget they play that mediocre Florida State now, too.
So that's a stretch of games. I don't know if any team would ask
that's
for.
Cake. That's easy. Although James Blackman, by the way, did say they ain't nobody taking nothing from me. So James Blackman is boasting.
Did he pull out a switchblade, too? What'd he say?
I think he said something like, I'm not getting beat on the field. I'm not getting beat in the film room. I'm not getting beat in the cafeteria. So that's Scott Hornibrook. If he thinks he's going to come down, the Wisconsin quarterback transferred down. String Bean Blackman says, no one's taking my gig.
All right, real quick, LSU 9, over under. LSU.
I'll find a way to screw this up.
No, everybody's – no?
No.
No?
Well, I mean, we can't – oh, time out. Not everybody in the SEC West is going to have 10 or 11 wins.
That's my point. Who's their quarterback?
Exactly.
I'm just asking. It's who?
Joe Burrow.
Yeah, the guy from Ohio
State. State transfer.
That played very well last year.
Beat Georgia.
Okay, you had to go there.
Well,
LSU, 9 wins. Auburn, 8. Auburn, does Gus bounce back?
I don't know what to make of Gus Malzahn. I got to be honest with you.
Bo's in there, thumbs down. All right.
No, I mean, honestly, we talked about this. You know, I mean, I thought we had high hopes when Stidham came in. I thought they were going to right the ship there. I mean, there was so many things that were not right for Auburn, including the run game last year.
Yeah.
They're going to get back to being 1,000-yard rushers? I mean, that's part of it.
Okay, here's the one that I would take, and you might call me crazy. Tennessee 7. I'm going over. I think Tennessee wins 8 or more games.
I think bowl game 7 wins. I would keep it right at 7. Okay. If you gave me 6.5, I'd go over on 6. So I'm just saying under on 7. By the way, Malik Willis, Cord Sandberg, and Joey Gatewood going to the mix for the quarterbacks for Auburn, by the way.
All right. Season. A&M 7.5 wins, by the way.
Over. I think they're making a leap. His recruiting class is stout.
It is.
Guys like Georgia on defense are going to plug right in.
All right, man.
Talking about Jimbo, I don't like to use his name in conversation.
It's okay, Mike. He's left the building.
Still hurts.
Coming up, what's our everyday lineup going to look like, man? Would you want Ender Inciarte at the top? Maybe move Acuna back to the cleanup spot? We'll talk about it next. Hey, if you want to go see Travis Scott live in concert at State Farm Arena, Friday, March 22nd, don't miss seeing the Travis Scott Astro World Wish You Were Here tour. Travis Scott tickets are currently available at LiveNation.com. We have a pair, Mike and I, to give one lucky listener before we get done at 7 o'clock. It's a big show, man. It's Dukes and Bell, 2 to 7. Coming up, we've got another edition of Yeah Man, No Man on the way as Bo will present questions and we will answer them accordingly. Again, thanks to everybody who is... had a chance to send us photos, and yesterday was really cool. Real quick about Hey Man L, guys showing up and asking about it. Mike had a couple that he gave a few listeners, as we said, if you showed up and said, Hey Man, and embraced us, and lots of listeners did that, Mike. So it was really cool to get a chance to see a lot of those folks out there yesterday before the match.
Right, and a great crowd inside. Thanks again to Matt Moore from Atlanta United. I know Matt interned with the Falcons all the way back when. Just a great guy, and he does PR for United, and he was very gracious letting us sit in the seats. So I gave my seats to a couple
Feels
of buddies.
Sweet.
I put the pictures up at Mike Bell ATL. I tell you what, though, you saw how big and fast those dudes from Monterey were. That's
real deal.
That makes you realize, wow, I mean, if we had just kept it together for 10 minutes down there and one less sloppy penalty. Of course, look, we've already bellyached about the refs. And if you missed it, Brad Guzan joined us. You'll be hearing that conversation, if not today, later in the week, Friday. But, yeah, man, those dudes are big and fast. It was very impressive to get a win. And now something to build on. Hopefully we take advantage of it against Philly on Sunday.
All right, more United conversation on the way. We were talking a lot about the Falcons the last half hour simply because D-Led joined us, and he was down there at the Pro Day for Clemson today. Farrell, by the way, and Allison, who follows us on Twitter, she was like, listen, you got to take Christian Wilkins. But we didn't talk to him. I don't know if they are not interested in him or not, or maybe that's a smokescreen. She said, that's the guy that you got to take. And she's a big hardcore Clemson fan. But Mike.
He's the heart and soul of that defense.
He is.
He's tough as nails. He's a good dude, smart kid, sharp. You know, he's a leader. I'd love to have the guy. So maybe, again, sometimes that is misdirection. But according to D-Led, the one guy we didn't kick the tires on at Indy in the combine.
Farrell, by the way, Cleveland Farrell, 27 sacks in his final 3 years. And, you know, with his size, 6'4", 264 is what they have him listed at.
Right.
It's a big guy. And I'm just bringing this back up. I don't know if you can go wrong if you go one of these guys. Again, all of them, you know, the three-year starters, they all decided to come back for another run at the championship. You saw how dominant they were in the Alabama game and in their run in the playoffs. I don't know if you can go wrong, but you only get one. So that's why I asked that question about if you have one Clemson defensive lineman to take, which guy is it? But his numbers are astounding.
I just like the idea of Wilkins next to Grady Jarrett, a little bit bigger guy to complement what you already got in the middle. By the way, Vic Beasley coming out of college, 2015, the classic Todd Gurley or Vic Beasley argument, 30 sacks, 48 tackles for loss in three seasons as a starter in Death Valley. Yeah. That's why we drafted him.
Yeah, it's true. And we forget that, you know, because the same
numbers were there, man.
But we were doing this same thing 3 years ago, right, with Beasley. Well, I guess it'll be 4 years now. When Beasley was coming out of school and we were talking about this, we were doing the same thing, saying he fits perfectly, which he does, but you get to the league and then you have that one explosive year and we go, all right, now where's the consistency? And it just hasn't been there.
He was there from the Clemsoning, oh, here they go Clemsoning again, to where Dabo has finally built it up to where they're winning the big one. I mean, he was a big part of that. That's why we were so high on Vic at the time, you know. And again, if he gets double-digit sacks, I'll have a tattoo of Vic. Decide I'm going to go with the number 44 jersey, Carl. It'll be a Vic Beasley jersey on my left tuchus. I don't know if I want to have Vic Beasley's face on my butt. I don't think he wants that either.
Okay. The jersey thing might work out a little bit better. And by the way, I'm just saying, you know, you do like to go to the beach a lot. I don't know if you want
that. But I keep my pants on.
Hey, man. I've heard otherwise, okay?
Yeah, I'm going to wear a thong. Yeah, but to be over.
I've heard otherwise.
I'm going to be in Barcelona this year.
That's my point. You're going overseas.
And by the way, real quick, before we get to the Braves, you ever been to a nude beach where you were nude?
Yeah. No, but I was there.
Yeah.
I was there.
I was at a nude beach once in the Greek Islands with this crazy Russian girl. And it was like, we go to Paradise Beach. It's like topless people playing volleyball. Oh, man, this is really cool. She goes, next we go to Super Paradise Beach. I'm like, what's that? And we get out there and everyone, it's like, holy moly. Even the DJ was naked. I was like, I don't need to see that.
Well, here was the weird thing. When we went, and the one time that I've gone, because I didn't even know there was one locally where we were on one of those islands.
Uh-oh.
And they said, yeah, I guess on the other side of the island when we took a tour that there was a nude beach. And I was like, no, there's not. So we go. I felt so out of place. I had trunks on, and I felt out of place. I was like, oh, am I supposed to be looking at this? Oh, I don't want to look. I don't want to look. I'm not looking at your lady. I promise I'm not. Why is she? Okay, I got to go. I got to leave.
Yeah, generally it's the people you never want to see naked, but that's always the saying when you go to a nude beach. All right, last, just to wrap up the thought on this, you know my boy Tony the Mailman, best man at my wedding.
Yes, sir.
And Squidbillies met him. Years ago, we had a guys trip, and these are guys we used to do the Jersey Shore House with. These are all the guys, cops, firemen, just total Jersey meatheads, right? And we had Big Ken, Little Ken, all these jabronis. And so Tony books the hotel. He calls us up. He goes, hey, man. Because this is back early, late 90s, early 2000s. So the internet was still just getting rolling. Mm-hmm. So Tony found us a clothing optional resort in the Keys, man.
Clothing optional.
Yeah. Topless, going to see some boobs. You know, Tony talks.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're all excited. I get to the cab at the Key West Airport. I go, take me to so-and-so resort. Guy turns around and goes, you sure about that, Mac? Well, we get there. It was a gay clothing optional resort. Giant rainbow flags everywhere. Tony's in there. He's at the hotel lobby because his flight landed before mine. He goes, don't freaking say it. Don't freaking say it. So they booked us in the room as far away from the shenanigans as close to the street. So if you meet a girl at the bar at Key West, like, so what hotel are you staying at? Oh, we're at so-and-so. She's like, really?
That's where you're staying?
To this day, Tony has not been able to live that one down.
Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. Let's talk about our Braves, guys. Spring training continues. Mike Conte said it. Opening day, just a couple of weeks away. And I'm wondering, Mike, do you move Acuna with as hot as he's been now in spring training to the cleanup spot? You brought this up weeks ago, and I was like, no. You leave him at the top. You let your best player, or at least one of them, get as many at-bats as possible. He's going to cause havoc on the base paths. But you could do that with Ender and Ciarte and put Acuna in the four spot, couldn't you?
Yeah, but as you said, the new baseball guys, the new numbers, the new metrics, whatever you want to call it, you want to get that guy getting as many at-bats as possible, don't you?
Ronald
Acuna?
You do.
And hopefully, you know, if your bottom of the lineup is stepping up, and Albies is stepping up, and Dansby gets his bat going, then maybe you can knock some guys in that'll inherit. But I'm with you. I the old days when we grew up, you're the big man on campus. You're batting cleanup. But now, because Ender is the five-tool guy that can get on first, now he's on second, he's stolen a base, he can score from almost any kind of a base knock, I still say, and again, it's counterintuitive the way you and I watch baseball. I would keep him there at 1, 2, or 3. I want him to get as many at-bats. I wouldn't have McLean. Maybe I go 3.
Yeah. If you did that, by the way, and you had Ender leading off and you had Acuna hitting cleanup, you'd have, you know, Donaldson and Freeman in between those guys. Markakis mm-hmm. would then hit 5th. And then you'd have Ozzy and you know, obviously, you know, who's catching Flowers or McCann, and then obviously Dansby.
But that's the beauty of it. If Donaldson is back to MVP form, who are you pitching around?
Nobody.
Right? I mean, you're going to – Donaldson's going to see good pitches. Freddie's going to see good pitches.
Yeah.
Acuna is going to be really, you know, on Markakis for making sure he holds up his end of the bottom.
Yeah,
of the deal.
I agree. I mean, you know, it's not murderer's row, but this is pretty good. This is – you have the potential for 1, 2, 3 – 4 guys maybe having 100 RBI, maybe 3 for sure, in Acuna, if he plays the full season, obviously, and Freeman and Donaldson. I'm not – that's not far-fetched. And again, I think Acuna could be a 30-for-30 guy or a 30-for-30. 30-for-30 guy. 30-for-30 is a ESPN.
What thing. If I told you the Braves were too cheap to bring him up last year from camp?
That's a 30-for-30. Hey, real quick, if you're wondering, starting infield is Freddie, first base, Ozzy, second base. Josh Donaldson is at third base. We've said this. He's got it locked down for this season, but that doesn't mean that we won't see Austin Riley at some point, Mike, at some
right.
point.
Austin Riley, swinging a good bat, and again, get him some reps in the outfield. He can also spell Markakis, who's no spring chicken. So let's see Austin Riley out there, Camargo, Culberson, the one guy we talked about this earlier in the week. What about Duvall? Is Duvall too much of a liability that you're not going to bring him around?
Probably. Dansby obviously is locked in there at shortstop, and if you missed our interview with Alex Anthopoulos.
Yeah.
I was about to say Alex Acuna. I'm getting all these names mixed up. Anthopoulos, he said that Dansby is on schedule and that they feel really good about what he's been doing down there at spring training. And then, obviously, you got Markakis and Acuna and Inciarte in the outfield. I like what we got. I just think, again, this comes down to what our starting pitching is going to give us and what these young arms, right. okay, over the course of a season. Last year, to put it plain and simple, we had guys that were beaten tired. Just worn down. The season wore them down, and you threw a lot of guys out there that weren't used to pitching that many innings, Mike.
Right.
It weighed on them, you know. And I always say this: you want to go get innings eaters, guys that'll give you 200 plus innings, because that's really what it's about in the major leagues. Yes, you hope they're, you know, solid with their stuff, and you know they win 15 games for you, but that's not always the case. And so I am now just really saying, I think this season, we're going to score runs. We're going to be productive. We're going to have guys that get on and get driven home. But can the pitching hold up, especially the starting pitching?
I still think it's a Bass-Ackwards way to do it. We talked with Alex Anthopoulos. And again, guys, he's gracious enough to come on the show. It's not his fault. Whose fault it is Terry McGuirk, who basically is the hatchet man for Liberty Media and the self-imposed salary cap and all the doublespeak they threw at The Athletic in that interview. But, I mean, if you trust Kyle Wright to get it right, and I do. I think Kyle Wright looks great. He looks all the part right now. So if Tukey continues to show up, he had a much better outing last time. So Alex Wright and then Tukey, you know, interchangeable as the fifth starter, that you still need to go get another guy. Gio Gonzalez has been perfect, take the pressure off these other guys. But if you listen to that interview, he's still high on Coby Allard, still high on Max Fried. So he believes that these guys can all be starters.
Yeah. What was the name of that hotel again?
I gotta go look it up, dude. Why are you thinking? You like to go see some wieners?
Oh, it just makes me laugh that you guys are all around the bar. Yeah, macho guys. Where are you guys staying? Oh, really?
The best one was when Big. We had a guy named Big Kenny. Kenny D. Big Kenny's his name, anyway. He paints bridges for a living in New Jersey. Okay, he's a big dude, a union guy. When he found out what the sleeping arrangements were, he goes, I am sleeping on the beach. He grabbed a pillow.
I'm not sleeping there.
He grabbed a pillow.
He's That's such
a,
funny.
This dude's like 6'5". He played at Rutgers. He literally took like a mattress, like folded under his arm, Carl, and goes to find a beach to sleep on.
Yeah. Hey, man. If the room was paid for, I would have slept in the room. I'm not going on the beach. Hey, coming up, we got Yeah Man,
Hard
No Man.
To sleep with Donna Summers playing all night.
Well, listen, I've had worse. Falcon Report is also on the way at 5 o'clock. And for those who missed our interview with D. Orlando Ledbetter, man, great stuff about the Falcons and how we've upgraded our O-line. It's all on the way.
Atlanta Sports Radio, 92.9, the game.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man on Dukes and Bell. We provide answers to several rapid-fire questions for the world of sports and entertainment. It's sometimes a surprise question. Is today's question number one.
All right, man. Falcon Report is on the way. You miss Brad Guzan? Atlanta United fans, we get a result, not an overall result in CONCACAF, but they played a lot better last night. And you'll hear from Brad Guzan, our goalie, in about 30 minutes from now. But right now, it's Bo Morgan. Yeah, man, no, man. What you got?
Well, you know, this segment is used to be rapid fire, and now it's questions and polls that I
we're not sure
with.
What this is.
What's the damn question?
Hey, you can't do that. He has to play it.
What's the question?
So we're going to start with the top 10 U.S. cities for beer drinkers.
Hey, and
now,
Hellraisers.
I think that Mike has probably been to, I'd say, half of these. So we'll start with number 10. Number 10, it says one of the best beer drinking cities is Columbus, Ohio. Yeah, man, Oman, you've been there?
Never been.
No, I've been. I wasn't drinking beer. I was covering a game. I went there for an Ohio State game many years ago. But I'm going to guess, before you even get to this list, that probably seven of the top 10 are college towns.
Well, in case of Columbus, remember when they had that pro Urban Meyer rally? One of the guys had the hard hat with the two beer cans on the side.
That's right.
Yeah, so they're
but I've not been there just to hang out and drink beer, so I can't testify to that.
Number nine.
Okay.
San Diego.
Great town. German word. Means Wales. But
it is a great town, and I've been to San Diego many times. I think I would rate it up there just because you know what it is with San Diego? You want to be outside all the time.
Right.
The weather is so nice that you find yourself out and wanting to be out on patios and stuff. When I was covering baseball, went out there, it was great.
And now Manny Machado will be out there stealing money.
Yes, he will be.
He'll also probably be in the Gas Lamp District, which if you've ever go there, that is the place. Great. I've drank beer there. It is. I agree with this one being on the list. Number eight, Cincinnati.
Famous chili. Been there once.
Been to Cincinnati.
Redneck as hell, Cincinnati, by the way.
Yeah.
Right across the river from the bad part of Kentucky.
That's true, where the strip clubs are. But what's the question again? The question is best places.
Have you been to these beer-drinking towns,
best
amigo?
Yes, been to
cities.
Cincinnati. Okay, yes. Check.
What, is it good for drinking? Beer?
I just was wanting to get out of there.
I don't think I had beer in Cincinnati. I think I had
up there for a Falcons game. Not a great experience. Just looking forward to getting the hell out of there.
I think I had mixed drinks.
Never been there, but
I had beer.
Well, never. Well, you should. You have one.
Yes.
Never been there, but it seems like a place that's about all you'd want to do. Now, number seven, I know is a beer place, Milwaukee.
Yeah. Now, Milwaukee is a good place to drink beer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The town that made the beer that made Milwaukee famous. Yeah. they love their beer.
Number six is Denver.
Really? I think more brown liquor in Denver and warm the cockles of your heart in a cold winter's night. But yeah,
they've got a lot of
Coors beer.
They've got a lot of breweries, out there. Mm-hmm. And they're popping up all over the place out there in Denver. So in that surrounding area, that doesn't surprise me.
Cool town, though. I mean, I've only zipped in and zipped out to go skiing. I've never spent time
there. Yeah, I got family out there. Denver.
Yeah,
good place.
Another one I've been to. Now we had a 2-day trip there. When we went last time.
Well, you were out there in 16 when Vic had his big day and Coleman had his big day.
Yeah, and
Squid works for the Falcons Radio Network, y'all, in case you're wondering.
So the downtown is great, and they had and we went and watched – we actually watched Florida State Miami, and where we were, I think it was actually a brewery that has a restaurant. So, yeah, that's a pretty good place. Number five, Chicago.
Yeah, great town.
Great town.
Love it.
Love it.
It's like when I was a little kid, my dad took me there to watch a Mets-Cubs game at Wrigley. I looked at my dad, I said, so this is what New York would be like. It was friendly and it was clean.
Yeah, it's true. You can't go wrong with Chi-Town unless you're there in the winter.
Right. But even then, I told you the story with the cab rider. Remember the Uber driver taking us to the Blackhawks game at United Center?
That's right.
You do Sports Talk Radio, you're going to tell all your listeners what an off Jay Cutler is.
Back when Cutler was the quarterback.
This guy gave me 10 minutes about what a dirtbag Jay Cutler was.
Their fans are passionate, man, and they love all their sports up there. There's no doubt. But, yeah, Chicago, great town
Makes
for
sense.
Drinking beer.
Yep. Yeah, and you got Wrigleyville. That's where we did my bachelor party. So that place, that was a lot of fun in Chicago. Mm. Number four is Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Been to Grand Rapids.
We went up to do that golf trip. Remember, you and I went all the
way up to
Traverse City, Michigan.
Traverse City, yeah. We went to the Upper Peninsula. I've been to Detroit. I've been to Flint, and I've been to Lansing.
Never, by the way,
but I've never been there.
If the guys at Michigan Tourism were listening, we're up for another trip. That was we cut in front of everybody. We had tea times everywhere. They just
the
red carpet.
It was the best.
And if you guys are really, we had a lot of guys out that are hardcore golfer guys. Some of these resorts on Lake Michigan were unbelievable how beautiful it was. And the courses were money. What was that one? Bay City, Bay, whatever the hell it was?
Bay Harbor.
Yeah, unbelievable, man. Anyway, back to you, Squid.
Number three, we should probably ask Andy Bunker. Number three was Portland, Oregon.
Crispy and crunchy. I didn't know it would be. I guess micro brews, right?
Yeah, micro brews. Yeah, not been
never
to
been.
Drink beer in Portland, no. Through Portland, never to drink beer.
Then number two is Asheville, North Carolina.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
They do an amazing beer fest in May, which we have to bring Heyman up there. They've got a ton of microbreweries up in the mountains.
That's
in
a good time up there, man.
And great restaurant town.
Yep.
Yeah, buddy.
And number one is actually, believe it or not, Cleveland.
What?
What?
Well, now, I've been in Cleveland a couple of times in the last few years. Mm-hmm. They have a good little area. They got a brewery on one side, and it's just restaurants and bars all the way down.
It used to be called the Flats, was the old thing. I don't know if that still exists anymore like it used to, but
I don't remember the name of this, but it literally leads to what used to be Jacobs Field and the Quicken Loans Arena.
Okay.
But then there is another area just on the other side of that, and there's another brew. There's quite a few breweries around there, and the place we went to last season for dinner brewery, they had – I probably tried like four or five of their beers, and they had about 15 on tap. Really good place.
Hey, by the way, if you guys are Falcon fans and you've been to some of these cities on road trips, give us your hits at Dukes and Bell 929. He's put them up. See Dukes on Mike Bell, ATL. We're always looking for some cool spots on the road trips.
Yeah. No doubt. Listen, because you go to cities, it's like with anything, Mike. You've never been or you've been there but kind of in and out, and if you don't know where to go, the city can seem lame. Every major city has its spots that you go to that are very cool.
Right. Now, downtown's getting better here in Atlanta, but like I said, if you met somebody, I would advise them, right now, Inman Park is like one of the coolest spots with all the bars and restaurants. It's just a ton of people out there, and it's just a short, cab ride for all the folks who stay downtown, or the Virginia Highlands for that matter. So many cool spots. You go to Buckhead, you want to get your car stolen, but everything else is cool.
That's cool.
Hey, man, I lived in Buckhead for 7 years, never got my car stolen, Mike. Yeah.
Don't leave your keys also in the ignition. That also
you
helps.
You did. Sorry, Hugh.
Just saying, they've had a bad couple of weeks up in Buckhead. Just be careful out there. Situational awareness, people.
No, listen,
situational awareness.
It's safe. It's safe. Just lock your vehicles. Turn your alarms on and put your what's the thing you put on the steering wheel?
A 45? Oh, you mean the club?
Put the club on.
Hugh needs the tear gas dispenser.
It is, yeah, no, man. Ken, no,
yes,
man.
We recommend not leaving the keys in ignition and or a Beretta. Back to you, Squid.
Just make sure you're legal with all that. So today is National Potato Chip Day. So I wanted to ask you guys, what's your favorite potato
Ruffles.
Chip?
Ruffles.
Ooh. They've added all these new flavors.
Yes, they're delicious.
They've got the mozzarella and marinara flavored chip, which I just got turned on to, which is unbelievable.
Yeah. Ruffles.
Ruffles. They got Ridges.
Yeah, I think I don't know. It's tough for me. I like the barbecue. I like Cheetos. I like the sour. I love regular Lay's,
too.
Yeah,
Lay's, listen, you can't just have one. The regular Lay's are great.
Grew up with Wise chips, very thin and airy, very light.
Yeah.
Not bad. Yeah.
Don't forget Funyuns.
I like the kettle chips, too. Funyuns are good. Kettle chips are
the reduced fat kettle chips.
Reduced fat? Who wants that?
Yeah, Alestra. You remember that Alestra was big?
Oh, do I?
Anyway, let's do that later. We'll do your favorite potato chips for our game winner.
You guys don't remember Alestra? They put on the bag there, you may have, I'm not making this
abdominal
up.
Abdominal distension?
Leakage is the phrase they used.
Yeah, cramps?
Yeah. All right, man. Falcon Report's coming up.
Enjoy your early lunch, your late lunch, early dinner.
Hey, and then you'll hear Brad Guzan at about 5:20 as part of our Strong Arm Story of the Day. It's Dukes and Bell.
I got you to cramps real bad.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.